Big part of my years of meditation practice. I began in the Zen tradition where posture was one of the really central aspects of meditation practice. The meditation practice was negotiated very much with attention to the posture, and it had a very particular posture that was, in a sense, the ideal. And then navigating that and was, was a rich practice in its own right. And through that, I learned to begin to really appreciate how much of meditation practice is navigated through the body. So much so that sometimes I think that I wish that we had translated sati, the word that gets has been translated as mindfulness, as bodyfulness. And if you go to most places, practice Buddhism, at least the places I went, whether it was implicit or explicit, there was a lot of emphasis on what you do with your body. And how you engaged in the world, how your activities you did, that you did it with an embodied way. And then, as I started to do Vipassana practice, the discovery was more and more from the inside out, and really discovering that kind of flow of attention and awareness that can happen in the body. And so, puppet posture helps that a lot. Some attention to posture. The primary motivation for doing it here is that. I don't want to try to have you avoid having unnecessary discomfort. Sometimes the reason we feel pain is structural. It's we're not aligned properly with our body, or we haven't found the kind of the posture that for our body that allows us to sit with some degree of comfort. And so I want to give all kinds of little pointers about different parts of posture that maybe some of these things will maybe make a difference for you as you hear them. I'm not trying to tell you how to have an ideal posture. The ideal posture is the posture that works for you at then a particular session of meditation. There's no abstract ideal that you have to live up to or become. The danger of this kind of instructions is it gives the idea that, there is a perfect posture out there, and if you just fidget enough and adjust your posture enough, you'll eventually find it, and you'll never be uncomfortable ever again. And that doesn't exist. And working with discomfort is part of the practice. If you're free only when you're comfortable, you're not really free. And so, that's part of the posture as it starts getting uncomfortable. But it's your choice whether you practice with that discomfort. And again, there's in Zen, I was told you weren't allowed to move whatsoever. It was a very firm rule. Here you're allowed to move for sure. There's no rule against moving. And we do ask you to move, if you move in meditation, to move quietly so as not to make too much noise to people around you. But so the idea is that here, if there's a time, there'll be a time for you that you'll feel, okay, now it's my turn to sit with discomfort. And if you feel like, okay, this is a learning for me, this has been beneficial for me to do it, and you feel some more good morale, encouragement to do it, it's a wonderful thing to do. Some people avoid discomfort at all costs and think it's a mistake. However, if you don't feel encouraged and you don't feel like this is the day or the meditation to sit with pain, please don't if you can help it. There's no, again, there's no requirement you do so. Or maybe you do it just long enough that, okay, that was enough. Thank you. I think I learned something about being a little bit more patient today, but that's enough lessons for today. So posture, meditation posture, is also a wonderful mirror for ourselves. What happens with our postures reflects what's going on in our minds, in our hearts. And sometimes you can tr better track what goes on internally from how your posture is, and what happens with you, what you're doing with your hands as you meditate. They get a little tense, maybe, or what you're leaning forward, or you're slumping a little bit, and that's a sign that maybe you're not putting enough effort into doing the practice. You're getting complacent, or that you find yourself that your stomach is in knots, maybe because you're living with very high standards, and you're not living up to the standards of what meditation is supposed to be like, and so there's kind of an inner conflict around it that knots up the stomach. So in all kinds of ways, the posture a little bit, as the more we get to tune to it, the subtle adjustments, subtle changes of it can be a mirror for what's happening internally. And that can be useful as a kind of extra help in the mindfulness. How to sit? The classic way is to sit cross-legged, like the Buddha is here. There's some advantages to this. One is that you make a nice tripod of the two knees and the butt. So there's a wide, stable base. It also brings your center of gravity, your kind of this kind of center, your weight down low, to a surface, and it also gets stability and it makes it easier to feel grounded this way. There's other advantages too. There's something about if you're able to sit this way with a little cushion under you, or big cushion, that can make it easier for the spine to be held upright in a nice way. And for a long term sitting with upright spine, so there's something about this posture and the way the hips tilt forward a little bit that can support the spine for a long time. I read a study many, many years ago where they studied human bodies and said that the most relaxed postures for a human being is either the corpse pose in yoga or the cross-legged posture sitting this way. And so it's maybe some people it's counterintuitive, this idea that you can sit straight upright and the body can relax really deeply. But that's actually the case. So there's a combination of alertness in the body being upright, but there's so many, once it's aligned, so much can relax and let go that can't let go if you're meditating all slumped over, curled over, hunched over, or you're a couch potato leaning back into a nice soft couch and you're also slumping. It actually limits how much the shoulders can drop down or other parts of the torso can really let go if it's not really well aligned. So that's, ideal. And so, it's kind of nice, the classic way. But it's not the only way. It's fine to sit. There's all kinds of other ways of sitting, and also it's fine to sit in a chair. The lore of Buddhism is that the next Buddha is sitting in a chair. So who knows? Those of you sitting in a chair, it might be you. So there's nothing wrong with sitting in a chair if it has its own, own dynamics and its own care that goes into it. So first, about sitting cross-legged, I recommend that you don't actually sit cross-legged, but rather one leg in front of the other. So one's not up on the other, like full lotus is fully crossed. Half lotus is one is up on the opposite leg. Full lotus is hard for people. It puts a tremendous torque in the knees and on the ankles, and most people can't do it for very long. And you can even get damaged if you sit with that kind of pain for a long time. Half lotus is nice, but that also kind of, if you can do it, it's a little bit lopsided if you always do it one way. The least lopsided is to have one leg in front of the others. So that sometimes it's called Taylor fashion. Some people call it Burmese fashion, one in front of the other. And that puts the least amount of torque on the knees. And so it can be kind of more comfortable. The art of it is to find how high you should sit. Almost no one should sit flat, completely flat. Some people it works, but almost everyone needs to have some height, and the level of height depends a lot on how open the hips are. The tighter the hips, the higher probably you want to sit. And so if you want to need more height, you can get a bigger cushion. You can get these support cushions, those square ones like that. And as it's sitting on here under her knees, build up some height. So, or some people even have two of them, zafus, on top of each other. And if you use the round ones, the idea is to sit, kind of the idea is to sit on the front third of it. So you sit a little bit at the angle. So it's a little bit of a slant going down here. And the reason for that is to have a slight little tilt or turn in your pelvis, and then it makes it, and so little bit, there's a kind of forward downward movement in the legs, that legs take a lot of the support and weight. So just it's just a little bit, and for the lower back. Again, it's also individual for people. So what I say is doesn't appropriate for everyone. But a straight back is not straight, ramrod straight. There's a natural curve in the back, and so what you're looking for generally is to have a little bit of a curve in the lower back. If the lower back is convex, pushed out a little bit. Then it puts actually a lot of strain in the muscles. The muscles have to work really well, a lot. If you're overarched, it puts a strain. And so we have just a little bit, and there's a way in which by tilting the hips forward down a little bit, and having a little bit, there's a feeling of strength that can happen sometimes, or where or of the lower kind of near the bottom of the spine, maybe a few vertebrae up, with a feeling of kind of being. Of pushing down a little bit, or being, the pressure goes down a little bit, the downward pressure that lifts up the torso. So it's almost like if you push down into the down it, your tor the rest of the upper torso goes up. So how high? So to try different kind of size cushions and stuff. If you're sitting cross-legged, this way, there's Taylor fashion. It can still put some torque and twist on your ankles for some people, and then some people get a little hand towel or something and put it underneath their ankle, and just so that they have more of the normal angle at the ankle. Small adjustments in the legs, like having the knees further apart from each other, having the knees as close as you can, having one foot further forward so you can get the knees even closer, bringing your heels and bringing them in close under your body. So all these variations, and sometimes small variations make a big difference. Some of the common pain in the knees have again a lot to do with how open and close the how open or tight the hips are, and it's the hips that need to be opened to make it better here. So hip opening exercises and yoga can make a big difference. One way to sit down is like you can do both legs. You have them sitting up like this, and you kind of pull yourself up and out of the kind of the hip joint a little bit. And then as you put your legs down again, lean into the leg that's going down, because if you lean into it, it doesn't twist the knee as much. And then sit up. And then it does more in the hip than in the knee. And then it's easier to do with the second one. And I'll sometimes go like this and pull up. And then sometimes I even like swing back and forth like this, opening up there in the hip joint. And then again, leaning into that to put it down. And then straightening up. And that can help. And then sometimes small little things at the hands, at the knee, if you pull, it's even like a millimeter or so, pull the skin up a little bit over the kneecap, or you sometimes I turn it a little bit, the skin here, and some people find that it's nice to take the muscles of the calf and lift it up, so this muscle, the bone, the muscles here in the lower and the calf and the thigh kind of get pulled away, so it's not pressing so much there. So there's all kinds of little tricks you can do that can make a difference. And there was a long time that I would sit with my toes over the edge of these abutans. Just that little bit of difference down in the ankle made a difference up on the knee. And then, if you can't get your knees down, your knees are up a little bit, then as I see some of you are doing it, and Inez is doing it, you can put something underneath your knees to prop it up. And so you have some support there. And then slowly over time, you might need less and less support as the hip opens up, and then maybe you'll come down. And then if you don't want to sit, if you're sitting cross-legged doesn't work this way, or if, as Nez said earlier, if you're new to all this, sitting the same way all day adds builds strain over time. So you want to take a little break and sit in another way to reduce some of the strain. And so for sitting on the floor, another option is to sit on your knees. There are these benches that you can get and put on, sit on the bench. An alternative to a bench is if you have some kind of cushion, like one of these round zafus, and you sit on it, put it between your ankles, and you sit on it like this. This is kind of a very nice way to sit as well, and very different feeling for the knees. It can take a lot of strain off the knees and give you a break and things like that. Some people find that sitting this way, it's a little hard for the toes or the back or the top of the foot. But if you scoot back all the way to the back over the back edge of your zabuton, it can make a little difference when the toes are draped over the edge. Or I put up two of them on top of each other, so there's more distance than even the very up to close to the ankle drapes over. And then sometimes there's too much weight on the knees, and then you come forward and have your knees right over the edge and the front edge. And then sometimes I've done both by folding the zabutons in half, so they're narrower, and then and both the ankles go over one side and the knees go in the front end. So most of the weight is on the shins, and that has worked sometimes for me. So and there's also like the half moon cushions. Some people were, I've kind of like had these trends in how I sat. In one decade this way, this one decade. So there was a decade that I sat on the half moon cushions. There was a decade where I had the left foot forward, and then decade I had the right foot forward. And decade I had my hands on my thighs sitting meditating. And then a few decades together and all kinds of, it's always changing, every 10 years or so. So there's not one right way. It's always like as things change. If you're sitting in a chair, the suggestion is that you have your don't have your knees higher than your hips, because that pushes the lower back out a little bit and can put a strain. Ideally, the knees are either parallel to the floor with your hips, or the knees are slightly lower than your hips. And so to get that, some people need to make adjustments. And again, those brown square things are quite useful. You can either put one on some on the seat to get more height if you need it, or you can put some on your feet to get more height, more you reach the ground. Also, if you want to reach the ground, even better than the brown squares, there's this hard foam rectangles that are out there. That's what they're for. They're footrests. And the advantage of that is you get a firm foundation for your feet, as opposed to the cushions are kind of soft. And it's nice to feel a firm foundation under you. The classic instruction is to have your legs parallel to each other as you're sitting on a chair. But some people prefer to have it out to the side. So I'm not quite sure why that's the classic instruction is parallel, but as you wish. But have the feet, the soles firmly on the ground. Don't cross your legs, when you're sitting to meditate in a chair. And then if you're sitting in a chair, a lot of chairs like these here actually slope backwards, which isn't so ideal because it kind of encourages the lower back to slump a little bit. So some people I know build up the back so it's more flat, like a little towel or blanket or something, so that it's more of a flat kind of there. So, and then if you want to use, there's a backrest right in these chairs here. And if the reason you're sitting in a chair is for the sake of your legs or your hips, try not using the backrest. See if you can be self-supporting that way. There's some advantages to that. If you're sitting in a chair because of back issues or something, of course use the backrest. And there's options, different options there as well. You could use the whole backrest and lean back into it, which some people need to do. The other thing you can do is just get support for the back, really down in the lower back. And what you do is you can lean forward in the chair as far as you can, and then scoot yourself back so that until you're firmly up against the backrest with your kind of top of your back hip, waist there, and then snake up like this. And then you'll start finding yourself being pushing into that backrest, and you'll feel the support of it as it keeps helps push you up and keep you upright. And that's kind of nice. It kind of feels contributes to a feeling of openness and all that. And if another thing that can happen with the backrest is there can be shoulder problems and kind of issues. And the interesting thing is to take like a towel or a blanket and roll it up like a little roll, and then put it down vertically, down along your spine between your shoulder blades, and then if you lean back into it, then it brings your chest a little forward and your shoulder blades kind of get pulled back a little bit, and that can free things up in the shoulders in a way that can somehow help with sitting. If and then to another thing that can help you with both in the chair and on the floor to get a kind of a lined upright sitting posture is if you take your hands on either side of your hips and lift yourself almost off. You can, it's possible to do it on the chair too, almost off your seat, and then have your head straight up and kind of straighten out as best you can. So you're kind of hanging from your shoulders. And then as you release your arms, let your shoulders roll back a little bit. And then you might have a much more feeling of openness and in the chest and a little bit nicer kind of feeling where shoulders now can relax a little bit more. Another thing you can do for your shoulders is it's very common, especially with all the computer work people do these days and leaning over and holding tension, that there can be a lot of kind of tension and being held rolling forward that can cause pain. So there's this windmill exercise, and that is you bring one shoulder up as close to the ear as you can, and then keep the shoulder up there for a moment, but then bring your hand and put it straight out and stretch it forward. And then take it straight up, and as you come back and down, let your palm go up towards the ceiling and put it back on your legs and top of your legs this way. And if you do that, maybe that that shoulder feels a little more open than the other one. And so remember to put the shoulder up to the ear first, and then stretch forward. And then stretch up and around and hand facing the ceiling and come down. So that can be help sometimes with it all. And then, and the head. The idea is the head should be squarely on the shoulders. Where else would it be? Heads can do all kinds of interesting things. If they're leaning forward a lot, some way or other going forward a lot, it puts a lot of strain on the muscles of the necks and the back shoulders because the head is actually heavy. And so if it's off center, off the center, the muscles have to engage to hold it there. It's like if you hold a big heavy watermelon far from your body like this, it's going to tire you quickly. But if you hold the watermelon close in, it's, you can carry it much longer. So I don't know. I guess I'm associating a head with a watermelon, but the you want to keep that watermelon just on the center line. Another thing that can happen is that people's heads turn to left or right, or they tilt it one way, like, oh, it's so good, or so you want to try to get it lined up properly. And one way to do that when you're sitting, after you're sitting for a little while, try to just open your eyes and to look straight ahead. And if you're looking at the seat, at the floor, or if you're looking at the ceiling, then you probably, there should be an adjustment. And if you're looking over, to the left or the right, then try to bring it back. Generally, in our tradition, we sit with eyes closed. It's not required. There are Vipassana teachers who teach this, doing this meditation with eyes open, half open, looking down, not really looking at anything, just keeping a loose focus. But if it's all equal to you, I think it's nice to go along with the tradition. There's something about the reducing one of the sense doors, the eyesight door, that can help sometimes a closer awareness of our sensations in the body. And the some people keep a lot of tension in their jaw. Sometimes it's nice to just drop your mouth open and then float your teeth together, so they barely touch. And that can sometimes alleviate some of the chronic holding or tightening in the jaw that might be there on the mouth. Sometimes the knees will go numb. And if that happens, the knees of the legs fall asleep. It's pretty common for people who are new. And generally, if they, it's not a problem. It's good not to stand up quickly. There was a woman many years ago who broke her small bone in her foot because she'd gotten, foot to fall asleep, but she stood up and fell. So you want to be a little careful with that. So just massage your feet and, shake them, and then when the feeling comes back, you can stand up. The more important issue is that if the sensation doesn't come back after a couple of minutes, then it's likely that you're pinching a nerve. And rather than being an issue of blood flow, it's an issue of nerve damage. And so if it takes 2, 3 minutes for your sensation to come back properly, probably should never sit that way again and have that kind of numbness again. I've known people who have injured themselves for years and years from sitting and having that, kind of pinching sciatic nerve, for example, and then call it getting numbness. And so it's rare, and it happens more, much, mostly it's been in Zen, where in Zen they don't practice mindfulness, they just practice being stoically. And so they just, sometimes stay with the pain and just be with it. My impression is that if you bring a lot of mindfulness to pain and meditation, you'll sense something in your system will sense a difference between a pain that has a danger signal in it and pain that doesn't. If there's a clear danger signal, always move. Don't play around. If there's no danger signal, then use your wisdom to know whether it's a right time to sit with it appropriate. So if the numbness doesn't come back, then maybe find another way to sit so you don't have that kind of numbness again. And the same, a little bit the same with pain. If you have pain when you sit and you get up, and it's regular, every time you sit, you have that pain. But when you get up from the sitting, like by the time you get to the door, it's gone. It just passes quickly. Then you're not injuring yourself probably, and that's okay. But if the pain stays with you for 5 minutes or something, and it still hurts, then you're injuring yourself. And there again, you don't want to repeat that. So then you want to try to find a different way to sit so you don't cause that kind of ongoing injury. And so it would be lovely for me if this attention to posture and the kind of from the inside out, really feeling yourself and being connected, becomes a kind of an act of love for you. It's a way of kind of caring for yourself, being your best friend, and kind of, you know, finding a way to you and your body to be, you know, really in good terms and nicely related to each other, and that your body isn't like a, you know, a struggle, but rather your partners in this and finding a way to be together. And sometimes where the learning is in the body and posture and adjustments, and sometimes the learning is the mind. And maybe sometimes your mind that has to learn how to make adjustments to the body. Sometimes the body makes adjustments for the mind. So those are what I had to say. And the final thing to say is that it's sometimes hard to know from the inside how your posture is. And sometimes asking someone to look at you from the outside, they can maybe point out something that you don't see yourself. When I was a Zen student, sometimes I was the Leaning Tower of Gil. and leaning to one side. And in Zen, they go around the meditation hall and adjust your posture. So they come up from behind and they would straighten me out, but I didn't feel like they're straightening me out to me. It felt they were pushing me all the way to the other side. It had gotten so normal. This was what straight was. So all kinds of things. So if in the course of the retreat, if you would like Inez or I to look at your posture, you can ask us. One place to do it is during the practice discussions you'll have with us. Sometimes you can leave us a note, and somehow if we can maybe find you up here before or after a sitting and look at your posture here. It's a little hard sometimes when we don't know your names, because then you sign your names on the note, but you know, so many people's new names to learn, so we don't know exactly where you are. But if you see us looking around after you left a note, that might be a clue that we're looking for you. So we have a few minutes, about 11 minutes before it's time to sit again. You're welcome to use the whole time before lunch to do a walking meditation and not come back. You've been sitting so long. And also, if some of you would like to stay now, Inez and I can go around and talk to you individually, maybe look at your posture. And we probably have a time just for a small handful. But if any of you would like us to look at your posture now, then we can walk around and see you. So thank you.